Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. AARP magazine is targeted at people of retirement age, presumably folks in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and above. In the April-May 2019 issue, there is a health special section titled, Your Health in Your 60s, What You Need to Know. A strange title, since the information is useful for people of all retirement ages. So I hope there are lots of things we read today that resonate for you also. You told us what medical issues worry you most. Now turn your worries into action and live a longer, happier life. And this article is written by Mike Zimmerman with Jessica Migala. How are you doing? No, really, how are you doing? We wanted to know, so we polled 500 people ages 60 to 69 to see how those in your age group felt about their overall health and what their biggest worries for the future might be. Turns out, you're probably doing pretty well. More than 3 out of 4 people in their 60s rate their health as good or excellent. But somewhere in your brain, maybe far in the back, maybe right up front, you might well be worried about what could happen. Heart disease, cancer, and cognitive issues such as Alzheimer's disease loom large in older adults' minds. So we decided to take a clear-eyed look at the most common health worries that concern people in their 60s and arm you with the knowledge you need to cut your risk. Whether you're a stone-cold stoic or a nervous neurotic, here's how to tell if you're stressing out too much or not enough. Your cardiovascular health. How can I keep my heart in top shape? Cardiovascular disease is likely among your biggest concerns, and for good reason. Heart and blood vessel problems begin to affect men in their 50s, while women in general won't see a spike in risk until they're in their 60s. But no matter your age or your gender, you can take steps today to protect yourself. Check out the answers to your ticker-related questions. Most of my elder family members died of heart disease. Am I doomed? Absolutely not. You can't change your genes, but you can change your lifestyle, says cardiologist Jennifer H. Myers, a professor at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, and co-author of Heart Smart for Women. Now is the time to schedule a yearly physical with your general practitioner or a cardiologist to establish baselines for all your relevant stats. Also, ask your doctor if you're a good candidate for a CT scan that screens for atherosclerosis. It takes minutes, uses low doses of radiation, is relatively affordable, and has been found to accurately identify people at high risk for the condition. Should I start to eat less red meat? Probably. Studies show that high consumption of red meat is associated with increased levels of TMAO, a chemical marker produced by gut bacteria that has long been linked to heart disease. Great news, limiting red meat can decrease elevated levels of TMAO within a month. Myers recommends going meatless one day a week and getting more protein from beans and fish. Will watching cable news give me a heart attack? It depends. Do the hyperventilating anchors make you laugh or growl? Stress from sources as varied as PTSD, chronic sound pollution, or an infection is associated with heart disease risk, perhaps because it taps into the amygdala, the reptilian hind quarter of the brain. In one study, brain scans showed that people with high amygdala activity were more likely to develop heart disease than those whose emotional centers were quieter, possibly because it stimulates an inflammatory response in the arteries. Is whole milk okay? Yes, a recent study has shown that consuming full-fat dairy products is associated with a longer life. In a 2018 study of more than 130,000 adults in 21 countries, those who ate two or more daily servings of whole-fat dairy had a 22% lower risk of heart disease and 34% lower risk of stroke than those who ate less dairy. I become out of breath climbing the stairs. Do I have heart disease? If this happens only during exertion and not while you're going about your normal routine, you're probably just out of shape, says cardiologist Karen Alexander, a professor at the Duke University of Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. Here's a better fitness test. Can you sit on the ground and get up again without using your hands? An inability to do this is linked to mortality in adults over 50. Am I more at risk for heart disease now that I'm through menopause? Yes, estrogen protects the heart by keeping arteries pliable and controlling blood pressure and cholesterol, and that's one reason why heart disease spikes in women about 10 years after menopause, Myers notes. One thing to focus on now? Sleep. Snoozing less than 6 hours a night boosts the odds of heart disease. Should I take aspirin every day? The American College of Cardiology recommends that you skip the daily aspirin. Several recent studies have found that taking a daily low-dose aspirin offered no benefit to people who did not have diagnosed heart disease. If, however, you have a stent, have previously suffered a heart attack, or have diagnosed heart disease, you should continue taking aspirin. And diabetics with moderate and high risk of heart disease should pop a pill. Do I get too much salt? If you eat a lot of packaged foods, then yes. The average person consumes 3,400 milligrams of sodium daily, more than twice the amount, 1,500 milligrams, the American Heart Association says is ideal. 70% of that comes from processed foods. Bread, cold cuts, and cheese are all among the top sources of sodium. One safeguard, eat more fruits and vegetables to increase your potassium intake. This mineral can help to lower blood pressure and reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. I have erectile dysfunction, ED. Is this a sign of heart disease? Definitely get your heart checked before asking for Cialis. Multiple factors are at play with ED, but a 2018 study in the journal Circulation found that men with the condition were more likely to have type 2 diabetes or heart disease and had double the normal odds of suffering a heart attack or stroke. Your brain health. How can I stay mentally sharp for life? Your risk of developing dementia is lower than that of previous generations thanks to healthier living. But if you're concerned about your brain health as you look to your 70s and 80s, there are ways you can help ward off cognitive decline. When I have senior moments, are these early signs of dementia? Probably not. It's important to understand the difference between the earliest stages of Alzheimer's and normal cognitive aging, says neurologist Richard Isaacson, director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at Weill Cornell Medicine and New York Presbyterian. Just like our skin wrinkles, our brains age too. Age-related cognitive decline shows in things like a word that's on the tip of your tongue and you remember it later. With Alzheimer's, you'll forget the word and it'll never come back. If you forgot your keys and realize you were doing three things at once, that's no big deal. But if you lose your keys and you can never find them, and it's happened three or four times, it's time to get screened. I want to eat more fish, but I'm worried about mercury affecting my brain. Is it safe? Yes, in fact, it's likely that eating fish regularly as part of a balanced diet could reduce your risk of age-related cognitive decline, according to the UK's Alzheimer's Society. If you're a drinker, however, you might want to be careful. Recent studies have shown a link between elevated mercury in the body and reduced liver function in older adults, particularly those who drink alcohol regularly. If you're still concerned, the Food and Drug Administration lists shark, swordfish, king mackerel, and tilefish as high in mercury. Shrimp, canned light tuna, salmon, and pollock are lower and safer by comparison. I wake up in the morning tired and irritable. Is this normal? Bad sleep and bad moods can be a bad sign. A 2019 study in Science Translational Medicine showed that older adults who have less slow-wave sleep, the deep slumber that consolidates memories, have higher levels of the brain protein tau, which is linked to cognitive decline in Alzheimer's. Waking up tired and irritable on a regular basis could be a red flag that you're shifting from healthy to impaired brain function. So could general crankiness. A 2019 Danish study of 6,800 people found that those who are distressed in late midlife, average age 60 in the study, may be at a higher risk for dementia later on. Researchers call it vital exhaustion, a state of prolonged stress that causes symptoms like unusual fatigue, irritability, and demoralized feelings. Don't wait for it to get worse. Should I be tested for the Alzheimer's gene? Probably not. You can order an FDA-approved commercial test for APOE, the Alzheimer's risk gene, from websites such as 23andMe for $199. And you'll no doubt scare yourself silly if it comes back positive. In reality, though, it doesn't mean very much. The APOE risk gene is not a diagnostic gene, Isaacson explains. If you have it, you don't necessarily get Alzheimer's. If you don't have it, you can absolutely get Alzheimer's. That said, Isaacson orders the APOE test for his patients anyway because he says knowledge is power. Knowing you have a gene that increases your risk, along with any family risk, might make you more likely to exercise and eat right, the two biggest brain health weapons within your control. Is my diabetes going to destroy my brain? Not if you start taking steps today. It's true that research has long shown a link between type 2 diabetes and cognitive risk. A 2019 Australian study followed 705 people without dementia, ages 55 to 90, and found that people with type 2 diabetes showed a greater decline in verbal memory and fluency over a 5-year period than did those who weren't diabetic. Your diabetes doc has probably already recommended what you need: proper diet, exercise, and a healthy weight. My doctor wants to prescribe antidepressants for me, but isn't weight gain a side effect? Although weight gain has been reported as a side effect of antidepressants, a study published in the journal JAMA of more than 22,000 people taking a variety of antidepressants showed very little weight gain over a year, just 1 to 2 pounds at most. And we move to your cancer risk. How can I live cancer-free? You can lower your odds even if cancer runs in your family. Middle-aged adults who drink moderately, exercise, eat right, and don't smoke are 3 times more likely to be free of chronic diseases, including cancer. I used to bake in the sun as a teen. Am I going to get skin cancer? We can't deny it. The risk of skin cancer jumps when you have more than 5 sunburns. But despite those long-ago summers, you can still take steps today to slash your risk by half. Applying a broad-spectrum sunscreen every day before heading out the door, yes, no matter what the weather is like, dramatically cuts your risk. And a 2017 analysis of 13 studies found that coffee drinkers had an 18% lower risk of basal cell carcinoma. Note, decaf didn't work. Does having one kind of cancer make me prone to other kinds? Statistically, yes. If you smoked, you're at an increased risk for not only lung cancer, but also a dozen other cancers, including oral, cervical, bladder, and pancreatic. And a Stanford University study found that people diagnosed with 6 or more basal cell carcinomas have more than 3 times the odds for developing future cancers, such as breast, colon, and prostate cancer, as well as leukemia and lymphoma. likely due to an underlying problem in genes that repair DNA. Plus, women who have had breast cancer are more at risk for another type of breast cancer and other cancers, too. But remember, statistics apply to the general population, not to you as an individual. Talk to your doctor and make sure to follow screening recommendations thoroughly. I should get a colonoscopy, but I've been putting it off. What if I have colon cancer? You probably don't have colon cancer, though your chances of developing it decrease if you have a colonoscopy, since it also allows the doctor to zap any precancerous polyps encountered during the procedure, aka cancer prevention. If you are simply spooked by the exam, you have other options. A fecal occult blood test or fecal immunochemical test involves sending a small stool sample to a lab, which analyzes it for blood. A stool DNA test, such as Cologuard, screens for cancer cells. The catch? These tests can't prevent cancer, they can only detect it, says gastroenterologist Daryl M. Gray, a member of the Cancer Control Research Program at Ohio State University in Columbus. And keep in mind, if you test positive, the next step is a colonoscopy anyway. How do I find out if I carry the cancer gene? If you have a family history of cancer, especially in relatives 50 or younger, you might want to look into testing. But do it in a smart way, says Heather Hampel, Associate Director at the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center. That means coordinating genetic testing with genetic counseling, so an expert can put your results in perspective and recommend an action plan. Women who carry the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, for example, have up to a 72% chance of developing breast cancer and 44% chance of ovarian cancer by age 80, according to the American Cancer Society. In the general population, women have about a 12% risk of breast cancer over their lifetime. Though those statistics sound scary, genetic testing can help doctors guide you on the best ways to prevent cancers or diagnose them earlier when they are treatable, Hampel points out. Should I be worried about HPV? Don't be worried, but be proactive. About 45% of men and 40% of women ages 18 to 59 carry human papillomavirus, reports the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Though most strains of HPV are harmless, a few can cause cancer, such as that of the cervix, vulva, vagina, penis, and anus, and back of the throat. Most of these are rare, but if you're a woman, cervical cancer screening, which now includes HPV testing, is a must. There are currently no HPV tests for men. Have a combined HPV and Pap test every 5 years until age 65. Another option, NERCS offers at-home testing to look for the HPV strains that are more likely to cause cancer. Also, use a condom with new sexual partners. We're seeing an increase in STDs because people 50-plus are engaging in risky sexual behavior, says geriatric physician June M. McCoy, an associate professor of medicine and preventive medicine at Northwestern University in Chicago. I see all those ads for hepatitis C screening. Do I need it? Yes, if you were born between 1945 and 1965, you need a one-time screening for Hep C, an infection that causes serious liver disease, according to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. Up to 85% of those who have it don't know it because it usually has no symptoms, notes the CDC. Most people can get rid of the virus by taking a pill for several weeks. Your weight. How can I lose a few pounds? Obesity is both a chronic disease on its own and a risk factor for other diseases. The heavier you are, the sicker you often become. Learn some of the biggest weight worries and smart options for tipping the scale in your favor. I try diets but can't stick with them. How can I get the willpower? Rule number one of dieting, willpower alone doesn't work. Researchers have specifically tested this. A 2016 study found that participants who practiced willpower exercises for 6 weeks didn't improve their self-control issues. What should you try instead? Brain power, that is, thinking about and planning how you eat. For instance, don't keep junk food in the house, and if you're going out to eat, check the menu online first and know what you're going to order. Also, try mindful eating, focusing on and savoring each bite of food you eat in the moment and pausing between bites to do so. It may help control binge eating and emotional eating. A 2014 study analysis in Obesity Reviews showed. The good news, getting older may help you take back control. Our weight loss research has found that older adults were more successful with adhering to a weight-reducing diet than young adults were, says physician Samuel Klein, director of the Center for Human Nutrition at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. Do I eat too much sugar? Even without knowing your diet, the answer most likely is yes. Manufactured foods now feature added sugars on the nutrition label. That's your key to avoiding too much sugar intake, Klein adds. Reduce or eliminate added sugars from your diet while not worrying so much about natural sugars in fruits, for example. Added sugars show up in pasta sauces, flavored yogurts, breads, and even salad dressings. While you're cutting sugar, try to eat more beans and lentils. A 2018 study in clinical nutrition found that subjects who ate the most beans and lentils had the lowest risk of diabetes. I'm overweight, but I don't have any symptoms of diabetes. Am I in the clear? Sorry, but if you carry extra weight, you're still at greater risk of diabetes. Be sure to get checked routinely. About 1/4 of adults with diabetes have not even been diagnosed as having this disease, Klein says. I have a big belly. Is that dangerous? Yes. You see, not all body fat is equal. Abdominal fat is composed of both subcutaneous fat, located underneath your skin, and visceral fat, located inside your belly around internal organs such as your liver. Unlike excess fat in your butt and thigh areas, excess abdominal fat is a risk factor for high blood pressure, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. Dedicate yourself to losing 5% of your body weight and check if your belly retreats. You lose fat everywhere when you lose weight, but the proportion of fat you lose in your belly is higher than in the rest of your body because there's less fat there, Klein explains. Let's say you lose 10% of your total body fat. You'll probably lose 15% of your intra-abdominal fat and 50% of your liver fat. Nothing can stop my late-night cravings. Help! Try some decaf, green, or black tea in the evening. A study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that umami, the savory flavor, can help increase feelings of satiety and decrease food cravings. L-theanine in tea, this is also linked to better sleep, which will keep you out of the kitchen at night, can deliver that umami kick. How do I know if I have good gut health? There's no way to know for sure, but there are steps you can take to make your gut healthier. Our intestinal tract contains trillions of bacteria, known collectively as the microbiome. We are now learning that the composition of the microbiome can affect many different aspects of our health, Klein notes. But the day of having a simple stool test for gut health is still far down the road. In the meantime, the best way to maintain a healthy microbiome is to maintain a healthy body weight. Avoid packaged, highly processed, and refined foods, and eat a diverse mixture of fiber-rich fruits, vegetables, beans, and whole grains. Your balance and mobility. How can I stay strong and active? General declines in muscle mass and skeletal health that come with age can leave people in their 60s susceptible to injury. The time to rebuild your body is now. Am I too out of shape to exert myself? I say you're too out of shape not to exert yourself, Landers adds. One study of more than 1,200 cases of sudden cardiac arrest in people ages 35 to 65 found that only 5% happened during physical activity. The bigger risk, experts agree, is lack of exercise. A massive study of 334,000 people found lack of fitness to be responsible for twice as many early deaths as obesity, and even introducing moderate activity can reduce your risk by 16 to 30%. The oldest client I ever had started with me at age 87, and she increased her strength well into her 90s, Landers says. Too out of shape isn't a vital excuse for anything. Is my daily walk enough exercise? Yes, if you're walking briskly. The American Heart Association recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week. Five brisk 30-minute walks makes the cut. But why stop there? Your body can do more than just walk, Landers notes. Add little challenges that won't take up extra time. Every 5 minutes, do five walking lunges for each leg. Detour your route to include hills or stairs, or sub out one walk per week for a swim in the local pool. And as I mentioned, strength training is key as you age. Can you mix in some fitness for above your hips? Do at least 2 days a week of resistance training, including pushing and pulling exercises for both the upper and lower body. Will my body get weaker as I age? That's up to you. You have control over that, says Chad Landers, founder of Push Private Fitness in Los Angeles, who has trained older clients for 26 years. I hope there were some things in there that would encourage you to continue your good routines or maybe try some new ones. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.